What happens when the tools we create to make sense of the world actually make it harder to understand? We're drowning in information, yet starving for meaning. Our phones know where we've been, algorithms decide what we see, and computational systems run our lives. But ask anyone to explain how it all actually works, and you'll get blank stares. This isn't just about technology being complicated, it's about something more unsettling. We've constructed a global infrastructure so complex that comprehension itself has become impossible. The internet was supposed to enlighten us, yet it's produced conspiracy theories, political polarization, and a strange new fundamentalism. We have more data than ever, but we're thinking less clearly. Welcome to the new dark age, not a rejection of knowledge, but a crisis born from its overwhelming abundance. Consider the metaphor we use constantly, the cloud. It sounds ethereal, weightless, almost magical. But clouds aren't floating abstractions. They're massive warehouses filled with humming servers, consuming electricity equivalent to entire nations, connected by undersea cables and fiber optic lines. This deliberate obscurity isn't accidental. When we can't see the infrastructure, we can't question who owns it, who controls it, or what it's doing to the planet. Technology companies prefer this mystification because it erases accountability. Yet computation isn't neutral. It's culture itself. Google started by indexing human knowledge, but became its gatekeeper. Facebook mapped our social connections, but transformed into the platform where those connections happen. These systems don't just augment our lives, they fundamentally reshape how we relate to knowledge, to each other, and to reality itself. The danger lies in treating these tools as inevitable rather than recognizing them as choices, choices that embed specific worldviews and power structures into the fabric of daily life. Pilots shut down functioning engines because automated warnings indicate fire, even when they see none. Tourists drive into Death Valley's scorching terrain following GPS shortcuts, ignoring obvious danger signs. In aviation simulations, 75% of experienced crews followed automated guidance to shut down the wrong engine during contradictory warnings. This is automation bias, our tendency to trust machines over our own observations. Our brains, seeking the path of least resistance, eagerly offload decisions to computational systems. The problem intensifies as machines handle more cognitive tasks, reinforcing their authority regardless of consequences. Korean Airlines Flight 007 drifted hundreds of miles off course in 1983 because pilots trusted their incorrectly programmed autopilot despite warning signs. Their final moments were spent re-engaging the very system that doomed them. We've created tools that don't just assist our thinking, they replace it. Often catastrophically. In Greenland, 3,500 years of preserved artifacts are melting from ancient middens. Archaeologists call it the Library of Alexandria in the ground, and it's on fire. Climate change has severed us from the predictability civilization requires. Meteorologists warn we may have passed peak knowledge. Future generations will know less about their world because the patterns we've documented no longer hold. Syria's climate-linked drought killed 85% of rural livestock, forcing a million villagers into cities and helping trigger conflict that displaced scientists from Aleppo's seed bank. When the Svalbard Global Seed Vault flooded in 2016 due to melting Arctic permafrost, the metaphor became literal. Our backup plans are failing. The darkest irony? Data centers storing our digital knowledge consume 3% of global electricity, producing emissions equivalent to the airline industry and doubling every 4 years. At current rates, CO2 will reach 1,000 parts per million by century's end, dropping human cognitive ability by 21%. Climate change isn't just an environmental crisis, it's a crisis of thought itself. Millions of videos featuring disembodied hands unwrapping surprise eggs have been watched billions of times by transfixed toddlers. This isn't creative content. It's industrialized exploitation optimized for algorithmic amplification. YouTube's recommendation engine creates a feedback loop where creators, human and bot alike, produce increasingly bizarre variations to game the system. The Finger Family song has spawned 17 million versions, many created by software placing random characters on animated hands, viewed and commented on by other bots in a hall of mirrors. When humans re-enter this loop, things darken. Channels feature real children in disturbing situations, cartoon characters drowning, or engaging in violence, content existing solely because algorithms reward engagement regardless of harm. Professional performers act out keyword combinations generated by machines, humans impersonating automation to satisfy recommendation engines. This represents exploitation encoded into computational systems, where YouTube's algorithms necessitate degradation to sustain revenue, traumatizing viewers and exploiting creators while automated corporations profit from both sides. Moore's Law, the observation that transistor density doubles every 18 months, began as a pattern but became a moral imperative, promising effortless progress. This self-fulfilling prophecy shaped Silicon Valley's culture of computational waste. Why optimize code when twice the power arrives next year? But we're hitting limits. Scientific research now shows widespread p-hacking, manipulating data for publishable results, across disciplines, reflecting information overflow. The Human Genome Project, once history's greatest data endeavor, is now dwarfed by annual DNA sequencing. The Large Hadron Collider generates too much data to store, forcing selective preservation that might miss discoveries. Fusion researchers at TriAlpha Energy discovered something profound. They're attempting to optimize a hidden utility model that human experts may not be able to express explicitly. Some problems exist in mathematically real but humanly incomprehensible multidimensional spaces. We've created systems operating beyond our descriptive capacity, forcing us to acknowledge the limits of human comprehension while recognizing that our tools themselves constrain what we can think. In 2013, a tech executive claimed smartphones could have prevented Rwanda's 1994 genocide by exposing plans. This belief that technology-enabled visibility creates justice is dangerously naive. The genocide was extensively documented through embassies, NGOs, UN personnel, intelligence agencies, and satellite imagery. The NSA recorded radio broadcasts calling for extermination. High-resolution photos captured roadblocks and mass graves. The evidence revealed not a lack of information, but a lack of will to act. Worse, smartphones often amplify violence. After Kenya's disputed 2007 election, cell phones spread text messages inciting ethnic slaughter. Studies show increased African cell phone coverage correlates with higher violence. The phrase, "data is the new oil," carries darker implications. Our data hunger follows historically imperialist patterns tied to exploitation, driving division and inequality. Yet we're not powerless. The network, our most advanced tool for civilization-scale introspection, refuses simple narratives, and that's its strength. Our categories and authorities aren't just insufficient, they're incoherent, forcing us to think differently. Guardianship, taking responsibility without presuming control, offers a path forward. These technologies won't disappear, but our understanding and design choices remain within our capabilities. We must see the network's complexity, not just its power. Think clearly, think again, keep thinking, because darkness isn't inevitable. It's a choice we make, surrendering comprehension for convenience, letting algorithms think for us, mistaking data for understanding. Reclaiming our ability to think means reclaiming our future.